Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. Welcome. Welcome, my wonderful, wonderful audience. As always, it is a tremendous honor, tremendous pleasure to be here with you on Refounding America, Reclaiming Ourselves. They go together. This is Peter Bregan. I'm a psychiatrist, but most of my heart was way beyond psychiatry into freedom in America and in the world. You're watching Brighty on TV, and we're live every Wednesday at 6, and it's real TV. You can actually go and watch on Roku. And if you're hearing it on the air, it originates from PRN.live, and then I think broadcast by a lot of other platforms. We have today one of the more important commentaries you will hear in a very long time.
So guys, whether you're a content creator or if you're somebody that just wants to get the real truth, the real news, you need to check out Brighty on TV. I'm a guy that's making content all the time, and guess what? YouTube's canceled me, Instagram censored me, and Facebook shadow banned me. And I'm sure you're aware of the censorship taking place. So if you want to get away from that, go to Brighty on TV and check them out. That's where we need to grow in this parallel economy.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
SAT123.com, they have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
Here we grow again. Brighteon is expanding with our new daily live stream in Espanol. Anchored by hosts like Yor Hernandez, a former Telemundo and Fox reporter, Brighteon TV in Espanol is bringing over a dozen new hosts and shows to the Spanish speakers of the world who are seeking out the truth on everything. To watch, go to Brighteon.com, click on the Espanol live stream, and prepare to hear the truth in a whole new language. Brighteon TV in Espanol.
Well, welcome, James Roguski. He is a very important person in American history, I actually believe, and I don't say that very often. And usually you'd expect to be somebody who's holding some great position or other. What James has been doing for some time now that is extremely important is monitoring what's going on at the World Health Organization. Because with everything else that's going on in the world, there's a lot of important stuff from the war in Ukraine and, you know, inflation and the open borders. Perhaps the major thrust that threatens American sovereignty is the empowering of the World Health Organization to take over anything it sees in the various countries of the world that it construes to be a health emergency. And health emergencies in the eyes of the UN, after all, WHO is an agency of the UN, and in the eyes of the WHO, can be anything from being woke to being unjust to problems of hunger and problems of education and problems of race, because in the eyes, and this is not necessarily a totally bad view, except that they use it to be a dictatorship. I mean, almost anything affects health in one way or another. And that for them, it's a carte blanche to dictate to the nations of the world. And I'll briefly orient where my thinking is, and James is going to do most of the talking on both these segments. The United States, along with many other nations in the world and the EU, want to give away their own sovereignty to the World Health Organization. And that requires that they either change the rules, the international health regulations that govern WHO, or that they make treaties or agreements or some other kind of contractual-like arrangement. Either way would be binding on the nation that signs the treaties, but if the rules are changed, it's binding on everybody. And James can correct me if I'm off on that. I got involved in this originally when I found out about that the WHO was trying to make treaties with the various nations. And this was unfolding and I was following this. And all of a sudden, James Roguski discovers that we have a bigger problem coming up in a matter of weeks. This was before this past May. And he found out that that the U.S. had actually sent in changes to the health regulations, amendments that would vastly empower the World Health Organization and Tedros, who's a communist criminal stooge of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, and also takes orders from Bill Gates, who is a big funder. Those are two of the big funders. Bill Gates with several foundations. And boy, were we off and running. James really brought it out into the public arena that in a matter of weeks, there would be a meeting of the World Health Association, is that the right, James? The World Health
Assembly. World Health Assembly.
World Health Assembly. And that no one knew about this, and they were going to vote on. And I can let James talk further about it, but basically just give over sovereignty on health, public health matters, anything that might influence one other nation in the world. They could go in without your permission and of the country and just work their will as best they could on us. James got right away on the TV and stuff, and I followed suit, and a lot of other people began to join in. And eventually, and I'm not sure if James hadn't found this, if the African nations would have even found out. I mean, James, I think your alerting started, and the African nations helped. But meanwhile, the United States of America proposed by itself these amendments. This is right out of HHS, right out of the administration. proposed the amendments and got like 40 other nations or so, including the entire EU, India, Great Britain, to support basically removing the restraints from this communist Tedros to interfere in our lives. I didn't know I was going to do that background. I hope that helps to set it up, James. Anything to fix about that?
No, there's just more information. So keep going.
You to take over now. We all both have more information, but you have a lot more than me. You have what basically I've done, folks, is to say, thank God this man is doing this amazing work. And he has just been on top of it. And I have not been on top of it so much because I really trust what you're doing, James. So why don't we pick up with that? And thank you for everything.
Wind me up and push the button and tell me when to stop talking. I will go all the way right to the end of the story as it is right now today. Okay. Yesterday, the WHO finally published the documents that they had been keeping secret at least since September 30th. The story, as you told it, went up to the end of May. And in that World Health Assembly, they did not even consider Biden's proposed amendments. So we won that little skirmish, okay? But then the war continues. And what they did is they created a working group to consider more amendments to the international health regulation. To really make this simple and straightforward, the Biden document earlier in the year was 9 pages long. The document they have now is 46 pages long.
Oh, God.
So at the very least, they're changing many things. Biden's documents wanted to change 13 articles within the 66 articles of the amendments. Approximately half or 32 or 33 of the articles now are proposed to be changed, along with, I believe, 6 of the 9 annexes, which is really where all of the nuts and bolts are, okay? And so they really probably should say they're just rewriting the whole thing to put the WHO in charge of everything. And so a week or two ago, the very, very secret formed just at the beginning of October review committee, the International Health Regulations Review Committee, which answers only to Tedros. It is a confidential group. Lawrence Oglethorpe-Gostin is the American that's on that group. He doesn't, I believe, actually represent the United States. He represents, I guess, himself as one of the WHO's experts. He happens to be from the United States. What they've been doing is taking, I believe it's now 16 nations had submitted proposed amendments, and the review committee was essentially cutting and pasting and sifting and sorting, and they got a 200-page document down to 46 pages. And then on the Monday and Tuesday, I believe it's the 15th and the 16th of November, the working group met again in secret, no public comment, no public acknowledgement or whatever. All through this process, I had submitted 4 separate Freedom of Information requests, and people that I know, 2 people in the United Kingdom, 1 in Canada, 1 in South Africa, 1 in Finland, 1 in Australia, and 1 in New Zealand, all submitted Freedom of Information requests to get these documents, which they were all rejected. The United Kingdom's rejection was the most entertaining. They said, well, yes, we have the documents, but we're not going to give them to you, okay? And so finally, the working group yesterday published the 46 pages of the proposed amendments. I've put it up on a website dedicated to this, stoptheamendments.com, so everyone can read what they are, hoping and I would say plotting to do, because they're doing it in a very secret way. So stoptheamendments.com is where all of this information is available. And what I am hoping your audience will participate in is a call to action. Number one, to just be aware that this is happening. It's Christmas time, they put a lot of this information out around the holidays. People don't pay any attention. And I understand, you know, you have your life to lead. But take the time to read what they are trying to do. And all anyone would have to do to get the feel of what is going on here is read the first two lines of the changes that they would like to make to the third article in the regulation. Now, currently, that article says the implementation of these regulations shall be with full respect to the dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms of persons. Now, when I read the IHRs many, many months ago for the first time, and I read that, I was like, well, that sounds really good. That's what it should be. You know, regulations should take human rights and, you know, my dignity and freedoms into effect. And if you notice on there, the amendments would just cross that out. Those things no longer matter. Your full respect for the dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms of people would be gone. Now, there's a lot of details in these 46 pages, but it would be replaced with basically equity, right? Now, equity sounds a little bit like equality, and many times you'll hear things like gender equity or racial equity or you know, that sort of thing. And you know, there are concepts in there that are good and fine, but what equity really means is money. And so what's really going on here, tied hand in hand with a totally separate thing, which is the pandemic treaty, it's really all about generating profits for what I call the pharmaceutical hospital emergency industrial complex. And so they are of the belief that health comes from either a pharmaceutical drug or some kind of an injection. Whereas, you know, I believe you understand as well as anybody, you know, that health is a little bit more complicated than just taking a drug and getting an injection. And all of that has been kicked to the curb. There aren't, you know, doctors involved in these negotiations. The health minister of Indonesia was widely quoted. A lot of people paid attention to the fact that during the G20, he was quoted as saying that we should have a digital global health certificate. And as soon as I heard him say that, I knew that even though I hadn't seen the international health regulation amendments, there's a structure in the regulations that, you know, that's what they're talking about here. So a number of articles 23, 31, a bunch of the annexes are all about setting up a database where each individual nation will have all of your health information. They want everyone to set up a digital structure so all of the nation's databases can be shared, you know, through this overarching WHO global health certificate. And whether you have a QR code on an app on your phone, or they print a QR code that you have on a driver's license or an identification card or whatever, they want everyone, you know, one could consider that holding a mark in your hand has a biblical meaning. And so they want everyone to be monitored by a global digital health data system. Now, in the United States, the last time I checked, we're supposed to have the right, the inalienable right to privacy. And certainly you could speak to, you know, rights about privacy for health information. And they're just trampling it. They're just absolutely trampling it.
It's interesting that that same health minister, I believe it was him, pointed out that there was, he is a businessman. He's not a physician.
He's a banker.
And he's a banker. That's even better. And he pointed out all the tremendous investment opportunities that these new changes would entail. There's all kinds of ways to invest in these digital and also the other things that they're trying to do around the World Health Organization. And this is the global predators at work. Yeah.
I've chosen to steal one of their acronyms back, They talk about being able to declare a public health emergency of international concern, PHEIC, or fake. Well, what they really want to do is fake everybody out and claim, you know, that there's this horrible pandemic coming and there's this crisis that has to happen, whatever it may be. That tends to make people not think properly. You know, when you're exactly. in fear and panic, your thought processes go haywire. So that the captured agencies like the FDA, we've all watched them approve and authorize things that are absolutely not safe, not effective, you know, not fit for purpose, and really make matters worse. But because it's an emergency, everybody's got to act fast, and so they get that done. And so we've all seen the, you know, dollar signs, you know, flashing in the eyes of anybody who owns stock in a pharmaceutical company. And so I've renamed it the PHEIC, or fake, is the Pharmaceutical Hospital Emergency Industrial Complex. Now, if you take each piece of that, pharmacy, right, whether it's drugs or injectables or whatever, hospitals got, you know, huge amounts of money through the CARES Act and other programs just for pushing a test to see if somebody could be said to have COVID so that they could get a bonus for treating yet another COVID patient. And then it's all of the emergency things that people need, the testing and the genetic sequencing and the, you know, the masks and the PPE and all that sort of stuff. There's a lot of money in them, Dar Hills, and the banker from the Indonesian Minister of Health, it looked like you were at some kind of network marketing meeting. It's like, hey, it's time to invest. And they have a $10 billion pandemic fund that the United States, the European Union, the Rockefeller Organization, the Wellness Trust, and obviously, of course, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, as the gentleman said, there are hopefully $10 billion a year that they're going to be dishing out. And so the WHO's budget is a little bit confusing because they talk about their budget in two-year cycles. So it's a budget for 2 years. And on any given year, it's maybe between $3 and $4 billion. They're actually trying to create an entirely new, they call it global health architecture. They're building a new bureaucracy, and they're funding it with like 2 to 3 times the amount of money that the WHO is currently getting. I mean, this is a money grab, a power grab, you know, a grab for sovereignty, a grab for control. And, you know, most people in the world, unfortunately, are just asleep at the wheel. And all I've done for the last year is read really boring documents, okay, and keep looking at the website of the WHO. And so since I knew that they were discussing these proposed amendments, I would just go to their website 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day.
God bless you for that.
No, because that's, you know, it's not like they were going to give me a notification on my phone or something. Hey, Jim, you know, here you go. And yesterday morning, lo and behold, I was like, whoa, there it is. And so it's now up on stoptheamendments.com. And my call to everyone is be the media, because the media is not going to talk about this. You know, thank you, Dr. Breggin. I shared this information with you yesterday, and here I am talking to you. You've made room for this. I very, very much appreciate it. But everyone else should take the time, as you can, to read through what's in these documents and get out your camera and make a video and post it up on Brighteon, post it wherever you can, and put the link in the comments in the article, and I'll do everything I can to put your, you know, the article is going to grow and change as people comment on what this all is. And I encourage everybody to get out your camera and do a recording, put it up on Brighteon, and, you know, tell the world what you think about any aspect of what they're doing.
Yeah, we're bringing together, James bringing together a couple of different thrusts that are going on. And at first we started out talking about the amendments, and you read us one piece of that. In the next session, I'd like to go into, James, more about the amendments. So and what kind of power is being given to Tedros? Is it going to be pretty much as bad or worse than it was before in terms of him being able to make up his personal own mind about whether you have a public health problem in your country, and therefore he can start bringing to bear on it all the resources he has throughout the world, including public opinion and all these countries that follow lockstep with whatever the World Health Organization says. And then there's the other issue, which is the treaties, which are separate but going in the very same direction. And I want you to catch us up on, whether anybody signed any treaties yet, and if you have the information, and what's evolving there. And the third thing you were talking about is the G20, where they have a subsection. I think it's called the B20. Is that right? With the business portion of it. And they're the ones that are recommending. See, everybody wants to give power to the World Health Organization. You'd think they want it for themselves, where they're recommending that we have this new passport, and that then that's just going to be another nightmare. So we'll go on to that in just a few seconds. We got about a half a minute left. Did you want to comment on what else we might cover?
Just to make it crystal clear and repeat what you said, people do need to realize that there are two separate tracks. The amendments are, I think, like a Japanese bullet train. They can be here, very, very quickly. The pandemic treaty is like a big old freight train that's trying to get some track uphill, and they're piling everything onto that one.
They're piling everything onto that one. Then we've got all these organizations that want to just throw away their own sovereignty, like the EU and the G20 and the United States of America. Okay, we'll be back after a short break. Stay listening. You all need to know about this stuff.
Hello, everybody. This is Kathy Barnett from the great state of Pennsylvania. I love watching Right Beyond, and you should too.
Hey, I'm General Mike Flynn, and I just want to encourage everybody out there to go to Brighteon TV. Brighteon is awesome. It's unapologetic. It's all about the truth. They have a great group of hosts, and their cast and their team is wonderful. Get out there and watch Brighteon TV. It is where you're going to discover the truth.
Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the Bivy Stick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the Bivy Stick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages, or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name, and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration, and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 Bivy Sticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at SAT123.com. That's SAT123.com. The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
This is Dr. Peter Breggin again, and you're listening to Refounding America and Reclaiming Ourselves on Brighteon TV. And you may be watching it live. Otherwise, you can get it on Brighteon TV, Brighteon-TV, or you can go to Brighteon TV and then go to our channel and get it. We were dropped from YouTube quite a way back, 45 minutes after I announced on YouTube about our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. 45 minutes, and it was just complete. It was that's it for you. The book is important. It provides you a lot of the background for understanding how important the World Health Organization is, how Bill Gates started working with them back around 2010 openly, and 2012 getting the WHO to pass support for him, and how Klaus Schwab in 2019, just in time for the pandemic, actually set up a memorandum of understanding with them. This is like a legal understanding between the representative of all fascism to the representative of all socialism. And the only place I saw any criticism of the UN working with all these industrialists and businessmen and bankers, very important, the bankers, was from an extreme left-wing person who said, hey, we're supposed to be pure communists and this thing is fascist. And that's actually what's going on. That's what the Great Reset is. That's what all of this is about. It's about blurring the distinction between government and business, which allows eventually for the billion-dollar organizations to take over the governments. And once they've taken over, then they start talking about, well, we'll accept a little input along the way, but we're the bosses. That's what we're facing right now. I hope that's not too glib for you to follow. We're talking with James Roguski, and we have a bit of an agenda here. James, pick up wherever you would like.
Well, you know, I'm actually very optimistic. I mean, yes, it is grim, and you know, I'm not blindly optimistic, thinking that the world's going to be just a big bed of roses or anything like that. But the egregious nature of the way that they are just brazenly crossing out, respect and dignity and human rights and personal freedoms, and replacing it with new priorities. I am very optimistic that they have failed very much on one aspect, which is very key to their game, okay? And that's propaganda. They've been keeping these amendments secret because they know there's no way to, put lipstick on this pig, all right? It's still a pig. And it's a horrible, horrible pile of things. They are hoping that regular people don't get wind of it because they haven't pre-programmed everyone to believe that, Tedros and the WHO and the centralized control in Geneva has done such a fantastic job and they should be given more power and more control. So what my experience has been so far is that anybody who actually looks at these amendments, At first, they go, oh, my God, what is this, right? But if you highlight a couple of things, you point out a couple of things, you can comprehend it, okay? And the first thing that happens is people go, oh, no way. They're out of their minds. Why? And once they're triggered with that realization that this is a power play, there's nothing in here about health or nutrition, or herbs, or vitamins, or using things that got everybody banned off of YouTube and Facebook and everywhere else. It's not about that. It's about throwing money at the pharmaceutical industry and giving all control to a centralized power. Call it by whatever name you want. I personally call it just authoritarianism. They believe that they are smarter than everybody else, even though they've been demonstrably wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong again over everything that they recommended. But what they want is to have the power so that their recommendations, literally their own words, are legally binding. Okay. And so you don't listen to what your health advisor, health coach, you know, doctor, physician, acupuncturist, chiropractor, you know, whatever. Don't listen to them. Listen to bureaucrats who know better to make all of these decisions in times of a crisis because they did such a great job the first, you know, this past time. And so I'm very optimistic because people who actually take the time to look at this in relationship to the treaty, which we're not talking about today, we're talking about the amendments, but the treaty has been public, okay? And they have had meetings and they have tried a little bit, you know, to get the public involved. I think, and I've been saying very much as a decoy, because these amendments can happen much, much, much faster. They only need a simple majority vote of the nations, the 194 nations that will meet in May at the 76th World Health Assembly. And even the tiniest little nations get one vote. You know, the most populous nations, India, China, United States, Brazil, Indonesia, Nigeria, Russia, Germany, the UK, South Africa, they only get one vote. And all of the other tiny nations get one vote. And it's much easier to influence those relatively poor nations with the promise of equity. Okay. Now, equity to me means you bought a house a while ago, you've been paying down the mortgage, you fixed it up a little bit, and it's money. Equity, you know, you talk to any financial consultant, if you use the word equity, it's money. That's what they want. And the WHO is basically buying votes from relatively small, impoverished nations to give them control of the world.
I think that you should probably use the word totalitarianism instead of authoritarianism.
We got to figure out how to merge the two words together. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't think so, because totalitarianism is the final stage of authoritarianism. So if you look at a political spectrum, you got authoritarianism and then totalitarianism.
And this is where we cross that Rubicon. Absolutely, this is
totalitarian. They're out to really totally control. So I think you can just go ahead and use those words. And I'm talking more and more about these two empires. Because this is imperialism. You know, the world has always had, ever since we started living in groups 10,000 years ago, there's been a tendency for bullies to take over, and then your own country or your own town, your own village, and then take over the next one and the next one, and to build empires. And the Eastern Empire of China is one huge empire with many tentacles that's trying to build a global empire. And on the Western side, you've got this conglomerate of the bankers and the military industrial complex and the big tech companies. And they all work with China in business. They're all of them at the top. We outline them all in our book. And so they then collaborate along the way to trying to build a world empire that eventually I think the communists will take over, because they're the ones who are going to have the real military, the real economic strength, the real guns, the real dogma, the real things they live and die by. And I think this is all goes into the building of this global empire that we're going to be looking at, a totalitarian empire. And China has always wanted that, going way, way back to the earliest emperors who were very totalitarian. China's always wanted that. And in America, ever since the French Revolution, which was supposed to liberate the people and probably give them equity and justice, and was just empire building and ended up with an emperor, Napoleon. So we got to look out for the power of the imperial thrust. I think this is going to be our contribution in many ways that we're writing about more and more. And I have an article coming out on that on Thursday on America Out Loud about the two empires and what the history of empires is about and how these are real. They're not conspiracy theories. They're very, very real. But that's what I think, that's one of the contributions I'm going to be continuing to make, is to see this big context that we're in. And there are so many pieces to it. Let me ask you about the, the immediate threat again of these amendments. Now, in the original Biden version, they went through and they crossed out every limitation on Tedros. Previously, he had to consult with the nations before he would impose upon them, designate them to be at risk, or in his opinion at risk. It was all very, very vague, with all the power going to him about designating a nation as being a public. Is that still the thrust?
All of those appear to have resurfaced. They're coming back for round two, right? Mm-hmm. Also, what was included back then and again now is the WHO is organized according to six regions, the Americas, Africa, Asia, so forth and so on. And so they have six regional directors. They want to give them the power to create, declare a regional emergency. They also want to have an intermediate emergency. And the details go on and on and on and on and on to play off on the totalitarian topic that you were mentioning with the treaty, which is a totally separate document. Everything you could imagine that they might be able to control goes under what they call One Health.
Now, yes.
If you thought of that as one's health, okay, public health is the sum total of each individual person's health. Mm-hmm. But their One Health concept is not that at all. It's that they want to have one source of control over every aspect of health. And everyone is treated the same, much like cattle. And so they don't only want to control human health, they also want to control your pet's health. They want to, how many vaccines you have to get, and whether or not you're even allowed to have animals, domesticated, farm animals, chickens and cows and pigs and so forth, wild animals, agriculture, and even, wildlife. There's things going on that I'm aware of in the Ecuadorian jungle that all tie in together. They want to take control of everything through what they call their sustainable development goals. And what they realized, it needed a legal structure so they could put the facade on what they're doing. And the amendments to the regulations give them the quickest path into that pseudo-legal authority, because in May, the 194 nations will get together, and they could very well vote to whether or not to adopt these 46 pages of amendments. Yep. They only need a simple majority, but because the United States and all the other nations are already signatory, on the agreement that was all the way back in 2005, 2007, signed, by it actually wasn't signed by the president, it was signed on his behalf by the Geneva minister, the ambassador to Geneva. We're already party to that agreement, and part of that agreement is if any amendments are adopted by the majority of the members of the WHO, it's automatically, it's just assumed that you don't need to go through any more Senate confirmation or, advice and consent. And there is a caveat in there, but because the Biden administration is part of this, we're most likely not going to be able to take advantage of it. Even if these amendments were to be adopted by a majority of the World Health Assembly, the rules that they are supposed to play by, not that they follow the rules, is that any nation could just write them a letter and say, no thanks. We know that you adopted them, but we are rejecting them. There's a clause in the international health regulations that each individual nation can reject or show a reservation, and the United States has done that, so I know that they know how to do it, okay? We can just out and out reject it, okay? But the reality is, without enormous political pressure, the Biden administration is what, they're the ones who are pushing this.
Yeah, they're pushing it.
They want to give away our sovereignty. They want to give control over to this international organization. And, you know, you just have to ask yourself why. You know, are they aligned with the wishes of the American people? Well, they haven't asked the American people anything about this. They're hiding it from us. They were, you know, ignoring the Freedom of Information requests. The WHO finally did give in to the pressure, and they did publish it. But you won't hear anybody talking about it unless we, the people, demand.
Right.
And so I've made it, I think, as easy as possible. You can go to stoptheamendments.com, and there's two big red buttons, and you can push the button, and it will send a pre-written email to every member of Congress. And then if you click on the tab, it'll give you every member of Congress's phone number. So go bother them. Okay. Now, you're not going to get the congressperson. You're not going to get the senator. You're going to get a fellow American who's working in the office. Okay. And I can safely say they are as, you know, unaware as anybody. So inform them. Let them know that you're very concerned about these secret negotiations. Set, you know, give them all the information. Tell them to go to, you know, stoptheamendments.com. And then call them up a couple of days later and go, hey, I want to make sure I'm following up. You were notified, and now I'm starting to make demands. You've had time to read this information. Why isn't the senator or the congressperson speaking out about this? Now, I am optimistic. There have been a number of senators and representatives who have spoken out in the past against the WHO, against vaccine passports, against funding the WHO, leaving the WHO. And so I know that there are many advocates, many allies in this. And so step number one is to reach out to your congressperson and your senator. A small subset of them will be very thankful that you alerted them to this, because they're going to be against it, because, you know, all you have to do is read it. Wow, it's insane. So, but we the people need to realize that they work for us. But if we don't tell them what we want, they're going to be busy listening to their donors or lobbyists. We need to lobby them, you know, one by one, individually, call them up again, and go, look, you know, you need to stop this, because it is about the most un-American document. You know, if there was ever a yin and yang between the Bill of Rights and the anti-Bill of Rights, okay, This is pretty much what we're dealing with here, with these amendments to the regulation.
It's a good clarion call. Have you spoken at all with Stand for Health Freedom?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
I think you should try, if you haven't already, try to get them, and I'd be happy to lend my name to it, to do a petition that can be circulated for people to sign.
Many other groups, Children's Health Defense is aware, World Council for Health is aware, you know, spreading the word far and wide as much as I can. Step number one is awareness. And, you know, to your audience, if I may speak directly to your audience, which I've been doing for the last, you know, 50 minutes, share the daylights out of this video and, you know, do everything you can to get people to watch it. Go to the website, learn what's going on, be informed. And I honestly think that when most people look at this, it's just so unbelievably horrible. I mean, literally, I caught myself when I first read it. It stopped me in my tracks when I got to the third article. I read it, and I then realized that my jaw was hanging open. It was like, this is amazing. So I was very happy when we put a call out for people to comment in September about the treaty, because they had a call for people to record videos. We got more than a couple of hundred videos of people saying, you know, what it was that they were opposed to. And the level of intelligence and clear thought and ability to express their beliefs and feelings, I was very, very impressed by just the general population around the world. And so I have great faith in humanity. I have great faith that people will rise to this occasion. We absolutely cannot allow this to happen because everything that they want to do is hinged on having this global health certificate to track and trace everybody and then tie it in to every other aspect of life.
Yeah.
If we stop them with this, they're going to have problems doing all the other things that they're trying to do.
Well, I think all this is true. The concept of One Health that you were talking about earlier is central to the power of the World Health Organization. It has already been adopted by the CDC. And what One Health, James started to talk about, it consists of, you know, it's like a circle, a pie, and it's got three pies in it. One of them is human health. One of them is the health of the creatures of the world. And then there's a third one, and that's the health of the environment. So Tedros now has come out and said that environmental issues are issues of the World Health Organization, and that including things like climate change. And when he was in the Ukraine, Tedros said that war is an issue of health. And he, so then that too falls under his bailiwick, his mini empire. It's going to be a big one, bigger and bigger. So they have they've written a carte blanche for themselves. This is not just going to be about a pandemic, or it's not even going to just be about hunger and starvation. It's going to be about everything that goes on in the world that impinges on health. It is a total framework for totalitarianism. James Roguski, thank you, thank you, thank you for the work you're doing. You should get a President's Medal for it.
Thank you for having me.
Oh God, it's so important what you're doing. It's so very, very important.